I think we've all heard the words trauma and inner child a million times over the last few years, but on today's episode, you're really in for a treat in deeply understanding what these things actually are and how they apply to every single one of us. I'm interviewing my friend, psychotherapist, and master life coach, Amy Van Slambrook, as we dive into topics like reparenting, trauma, how God is in the wrestle, and how you truly can recover from and rise above anything in your life. Hey friends, welcome to the Align the Good Life podcast. I'm Brooke Hemingway, and around here, we like to talk about the things that matter. Like how to create soul-fulfilling success by aligning your life and taking powerful, intentional action so that you get to experience the best of what life has to offer. From business to health to letting go of limits to raising babies while building dreams to relationships and real talk. We have it all here on Align the Good Life. So let's dive in. Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast today. I am truly thrilled to have this guest on today. And I kind of consider Amy a pen pal in the modern day format. You know, we have quote unquote known each other for a couple of years, but we've never actually met in person. It's commonplace for us to exchange 5 and 10 minute voice messages back and forth. And we encourage each other, pray for each other, and share ideas and struggles with one another. She's an incredible woman, and I'm so excited to welcome Amy Van Slambrook to the podcast today. Amy, welcome.
Thank you so much, Brooke. You are an absolute treasure in my life for so many reasons, and I am so excited about what is about to transpire.
Oh, me too. I know it's going to be good. I always get that feeling before an incredible life-changing podcast. And before we dive in, I want to share with everyone listening in today a little bit about Amy and how incredible this woman is. She is a transformational coach, a strategist, and a psychotherapist for world-changing women who want to heal and elevate their own inner worlds. She's known as the CEO Safe Space, which is brilliant, Amy. I totally agree. And has held that title for much of her life, both as a corporate executive and in her transformational work as a psychotherapist and coach. As a trauma, relationship, and leadership expert with 30 years of professional and personal experience, Amy uses the fuel of nearly losing her life because of the impact of unhealed trauma to blend therapy, coaching, and leadership strategy to create a rare experience of transformation and healing. She's also a sought-after speaker, published author, frequent podcast guest, and host of the Elevated Podcast. Amy builds her life and work on a strong foundation of spirit-filled faith. She works with high-profile clients who are managing the pressure of maintaining a public persona with personal weariness happening in the background. I can attest to how incredible this woman is, and everything that I've read doesn't even do justice to who you are, Amy. So I'm just really, really blessed to have you on the show today. And I know everyone is going to be blessed through this experience as well.
Oh, thank you so much again. I am truly honored, Brooke, just by your words and this opportunity for us to share with everyone listening a little bit about the greatness that happens when God brings our two hearts together, whether it's long voice texts or in opportunities to really speak to a larger group. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And you know, just talking about those voice texts back and forth makes me think about how, you know, it takes a lot of trust to just be open to someone and open to new relationships. And for the people that are listening out there that have been in relationships where they've been hurt, have been in relationships where they've been betrayed or things have gone wrong, it can sometimes be hard to open up to new people. And Stephen Furtick talks about this, actually. He talks about, hey, are you letting the people that hurt you in the past stop you from connecting with and being in relationship with people now? And I'm sure that's something that you've come into contact with. And somehow you and I just, you know, we just instantly connected and our hearts were open. But for the person that is listening, that's in the place of having been wounded maybe multiple times by people that they trusted, people that they loved and now being afraid to open their heart and to know when it's safe, like when it's safe to develop relationships, when to trust, when to believe that someone's intentions truly are good. What kind of help or advice could you offer to somebody listening and struggling with that?
That's such a fantastic question, Brooke, because I think, one of the blessings of social media is that it does bring a vast array of amazing people into our life, like Brooke Hemingway, who is just incredible, and other people who truly do match what you see out in this social media world, whether it is an actual platform, whether it's in the news or whatever that is, there's an alignment, right? That's exactly what we talk about here. There's an alignment between the image and what's behind the scenes. I think what often happens, and I'm a brain health coach also, and so I speak about the brain and the heart, and you'll hear me throughout our conversation today do that. But the brain is always scanning for safety, whether you've been through trauma or not. But when you have been through trauma, your brain scan for safety gets heightened at the same time that it also gets wounded. And that makes it a really difficult decision to make about can I trust this person or not? Because oftentimes, when you went through that trauma, you were in a trusting place. Very few times does that happen when you're already suspicious, right? And so that wound of the trauma happening while you are vulnerable and trusting causes you to self-doubt. Rather than doubting the other person, we often doubt ourselves, both because they blame directly or not. And so, my guidance is really about starting to tune into your body, because whether that ability to discern is at the surface yet, it depends on how much healing you've done, or if it's a little bit deeper because you haven't done a whole lot of healing work, your body always will let you know. Your body keeps the score, as Bessel van der Kolk's book says. So oftentimes you'll feel that sort of, something feels off, right? And then we second guess. That's the second thing we do, right? I'm probably making too much of this. I'm being paranoid, whatever it is. Pay attention to what your body is telling you. Take a moment to pause before you make that decision to trust, and offer that safe space to yourself. Whatever decision you choose to make with that person, you're making with the absolute best knowledge you have at the time. When we know differently, we do differently. That's the Maya Angelou quote. And so it's important for you to learn to tune in, to honor that voice. The more you honor that voice, the stronger it will get, and the stronger you'll be able to discern who's safe and who's not. It's one of my favorite sayings that the speed with which someone enters your life is often the speed with which they will leave.
Oh my
So,
goodness, that's so good. You've got
isn't
to say that
that good?
again. Yeah, you've got to say
The
that again.
speed with which someone enters your life is often the same speed that they will exit it. It's another way to say it.
You know what song I just thought of, which is hilarious? I came in like a wrecking ball.
I
I think of people that have come
love
into my life like a wrecking ball and they left in exactly the same way.
Oh, we need that theme song to play, right?
Yeah, so tuning into really what your body is telling you, because your body does speak the mind, and I can attest to this. You know, I remember in January of 2021 starting to struggle with substantial pain in my neck, the right side of my neck, and I went to a friend who loves Jesus and also does energy work and Reiki work. And she said, I wonder who's a pain in your neck. And I had never thought of it that way. And of course, you know, about 9 months later, this particular relationship ended, but I was experiencing a dramatic amount of pain in my neck to the point where I couldn't even turn my head. And I'd never really put two and two together. And ever since then, I've been so much more aware of when things are off in a relationship or a connection that something in my body starts hurting. And it almost always goes right back to the right side of my neck.
Wow.
So
What
why
is
is that? Like, I mean, I don't know if you can answer this,
that?
but like, is it a biochemical thing? Is it a stress hormone? Is it, what is it that creates that pain or that signal?
Where the pain is located or what creates that? While the pain itself is actually created from what the latest research says through the vagus nerve, right? Which is the nerve that runs all the way from your head down to your digestive tract, right? So that's often why you will have, oh, my stomach just clenched, right? That's a vagus nerve. And it is a large bundle of nerves. And so when you feel a pain like that, from what research is showing, either there has been a trauma in that area of the body, or it's simply where your body chooses because it's particularly noisy, if you will, and we don't numb it very easily. When I do somatic work with my clients, we use that as a teacher. So I would have guided you, for example, Brooke, through an example of giving that pain in your neck words. And it often is associated with a color. It's something that you don't necessarily want to do on your own always if you've not done trauma work, because it can really trigger some deep memories. But it's powerful just simply asking the question, like, huh, what would that pain say if it had words, right? And what is it needing? Like, is it needing, I need this weight to be lifted, or I need, some peace, whatever that is. Yeah,
So
it
good.
usually is tied to an emotional need.
So good. And as you were talking, I was thinking about kind of circling back around to this idea of communication, connection, friendships. We always hear people talking about the people that you surround yourself are the most important. It's the most important decision of your life. Make sure that your inner circle is it's a good inner circle. And so, it's such an important thing that you do surround yourself by people who truly are cheering for you, who truly love you, have the best intentions. And, they don't have to be all doing the same thing, but surrounding yourself with like-hearted people. And so I think people know that, but then I think there's also this element that I get asked sometimes, well, how do I know? Like, how do I know? Who are the right people, or how do I know these are people that I can trust? How do I know that I'm surrounding myself with the people that are the best kind of people for me?
Well, and that is a question that I think we have as long as we're on this earth, right? And I think one of the things, though, that we really can hold on to is, first of all, referring to our favorite quote from earlier, if somebody rushes into your life and they are just lavishing attention and they love you, they adore you, they don't want to talk to anybody else but you, that friend who, or maybe you haven't had that experience, whoever is listening, where they're just like, you get 10 texts from them in a day and I've known you, that sort of, and you want to say, oh, let me just breathe a second, I'm glad you're. But that's also called love bombing. And that's a technique by personality types who are typically narcissistic. And as quickly as they gave you that love bomb, they will bring other bombs that are not so loving because they attach. It's a codependent behavior. So watch out for those hallmarks. I had a beautiful friend in my 20s who really taught me about the rhythm of friendship. You allow it to evolve and bloom over time. Your inner circle is one that you want to protect as if you were, if it, as if I want you to imagine your heart like this, the most beautiful and exquisite diamond you can imagine in your mind. And you wouldn't necessarily bring that out and show it to just anybody stopping by your home, right? Hey, let me show you this huge diamond, because it allows them to see some of the most precious pieces of your life. And you don't know what they're going to do with that. You don't know whether they're going to honor that, whether they're going to treat it like you would. And the same is true with your heart and your attention and your time and the most vulnerable and beautiful parts of you. We're so focused on being authentic and real, and I am so for that. But as Oprah said, not everyone deserves to hear your story at the same time, right? In the same way. Same is true with your friendship. And I think it's also important to notice how you feel with them and remind yourself you always have the right to choose. There's always a way to have a conversation or distance a little bit if you're not feeling comfortable with someone. Just because they got in your inner circle once doesn't mean they're a lifetime member. Those people are rare. And you always have that ability to choose. It's more loving to give them a gentle, an honest word or in your behavior than it is to just tolerate somebody because everybody picks up on that. Does that help?
No, that absolutely makes sense. And I think at the root of that is just to really listen, like you were talking about, just tap in. Listen to your heart, listen to your body, and it's okay to give space. It's okay. Everybody that's in your life doesn't have to stay in your life in the same position that they've always been in your life. I remember Trent Shelton speaking a couple years ago at a virtual conference I did, and he talked about his grandma and how you knew what kind of person you were based off of what room she would let you into in the house. There were the front porch people, there were the front room people, and then there were the kitchen people. And if you were allowed to come back into the kitchen, you were someone grandma loved, you were someone grandma trusted, you were someone that was safe. But if you were not that person, you were a front porch person. And I know that you kind of talk about these rings of relationships and friendships. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. And he is just brilliant, isn't he? He is just such a brilliant soul. And he knows from pain, and watching. And I talk to almost all of my clients because this is an issue for everybody listening. No matter where you are in business, what level of success, this is an issue that comes up. So it's understanding, that there are, I would imagine, rings of friendship around a person. And there's the inner ring, which is the smaller ring. And those are people that you only allow in with the test of time, with the test of some get in there very quickly because they've demonstrated consistency and trustworthiness. You feel safe with them. You see that their life matches their image and they share the same values you do. They challenge you. But as you move outward, the circles get bigger, right? But they also get a little more distant from you and from knowing everything about you. There are friends who are maybe five or six rings out who you connect with on holidays and, you love having them in your life, but they're not somebody who you necessarily have in it, in the reality of day to day. And it's oftentimes when we're healing and when we're in, because the inner child is one of my areas of specialty. When that inner child is wounded, there's just one big ring. Everybody gets in, everybody is allowed in, everybody hears all about your story and all the details. And likewise, they share with you, there are no boundaries. And so that differentiation feels impossible. Like if I put somebody further out, I'm going to be rejected and that'll be too painful, or I won't be loved by anybody. And you don't trust yourself to decide who belongs where. Part of what is a hallmark of healing is that you learn to have different standards and you learn to say no to toxic people and that you aren't expected to just suck it up and deal with the way that they treat you. But that is just when you're feeling that, just know that that's likely an indicator that you get to do some healing work if you don't have that kind of differentiation in your friendships.
That's so beautiful. And I think over the last couple of years, I have realized as you described, that, the diamond, right? That diamond doesn't have to be shared with everyone, and that's okay. And it doesn't mean I don't love people. And for those of you listening, it doesn't mean you don't love people. It just means that you've grown in your maturity and you've grown in your love for yourself and for that inner child. So let's talk a little bit more about inner child. I think a lot of people hear about inner child. And to be honest with you, when I first heard inner child, I was like, oh my gosh, what's this woo-woo? Like, what? What are we talking about here with inner child? And it sounds very, when I first heard it, it sounded very like psychobabble. And I just, now I completely get it. But I think a lot of people listening, they need to really understand what it is you mean when you say inner child.
Absolutely. Well, I remember the day my therapist mentioned it to me
Yes.
25 years ago, and literally my back was, I was like, oh no, like
We're not going there.
that's just way too soft feely. We're gonna start to sing Kumbaya and do weird things.
Right,
Is it an imaginary little thing? Because I'm not talking to any stuffed animal that, is supposed to be the inner child. But she showed me just how beautiful that part of us is, and the inner child is really the most innocent and wise and also childish and wounded part of you. There's this beautiful intertwining when the inner child is healed. I say that it almost becomes the voice of God within you. It is that inner knowing, and it causes you to love yourself in your purest form when none of the trauma, none of the hurt, none of life came into your life. And you are free and beautiful and bold and strong, and you dance across the room or whatever your little person did. When that inner child is wounded, it's also the voice of every wound you're ignoring. And it becomes this kind of beacon. It is never a director in our life. It's always an informer. And the whole process of healing the inner child is starting to allow that little you to feel safe coming out and safe in voicing all of the hurts. And one of the earliest things my therapist had me do, and my picture is still on my desk and on my lock screen, and I ask every one of my clients to do the same, is a picture of me at two. And she is the voice of little Amy, right? And she guides me. But it was a process of learning to check in and sit. And it comes up in business all the time. It comes up in marriages all the time. It is the root of every single block, subconsciously and consciously, I believe, that a person runs into. And it is also the source of how you can achieve healing. The whole process of healing that inner child is called reparenting, which sounds really clinical, but it's basically learning to turn that mother's heart that I know all of you have listening, or most of you have that parental heart. If you are not a woman listening in, and it's turning that love on yourself. Because I know, as I watch Brooke mothering all of her beautiful, beautiful children and her husband, what a lavish love they experience. And it's allowing that lavish love to be turned on you. And often we starve that little one and we tell her to suck it up. You can deal with it. How many times have you waited to, like, go to the restroom or eat, things that you would encourage your child to do? Those are all really, really micro signs of a deep wound that gets to get healed.
I
I
love
could
that
go
you use that
on and on for hours.
example. Yeah, I love that you use that example because before I had really done very much healing for myself, I would not take very good care of myself. I wouldn't get up and get dressed in the morning. I wouldn't put earrings on. I wouldn't put any makeup on in the name of being, non-fussy and not high maintenance. I wouldn't always wash my face before I went to bed. I, ate cold food every night. Like I would eat just off of the kids' plates, like, my martyr badge. But I think that it is so true. Like it's just an extension of the unhealing, right? That has not happened for the inner child. And the little things that I do now, getting up, making sure I wash my face, I put my mascara on, my brows, I put my earrings on, I move my body every day. I do not go days and days and days in a row without sleeping enough. I make sure I eat when it's warm, like just little things like that, are symbols to me of taking care of me and healing that inner child.
That's powerful, Brooke. That's powerful. Because as I'm sure you found, there will always be a reason. I think we sometimes think, oh, well, but that was a really good reason I had to do it. And expect that there won't be any good reasons that we could grab onto, right? There always will be a reason waiting for you to grab hold of it.
Right.
But
And so
it's that
much of,
intentional choice.
yeah, and so much of what we do and who we are is modeled after what we saw. And I think sometimes people struggle, and I know initially I did with thinking about that because I love my parents and I didn't want to blame them. And it felt like if I took ownership and acknowledged that, oh, I've learned some of these behaviors or all of these behaviors from the way in which I was raised or what I saw, and that sort of felt like a betrayal, if that makes sense. So for the person listening that's thinking, well, I don't want to go back. I mean, the past is the past. Let bygones be bygones. Whatever. I've moved on. I've quote unquote, let it go because they do not want to feel like they're speaking ill of or betraying their family of origin or those that raised them. What would you say to that person listening? Does that make sense, me asking that question?
100%, and I hear that so much. Right. I like to focus forward. That past is the past. I've let it go, all of the things. If you haven't done the deep work and there is a huge resistance, usually the resistance is telling you there's an opportunity for healing. And so my whole approach, and I think this is important as you're vetting someone who could help you heal, is I go back there with a purpose in mind. The only purpose for us to go back is to get the gift in it. And having somebody go beside you means that you're not there alone. If there's fear about it, that means that it has power over you. So essentially, if we're just turning our back on it and minimizing it, it has more power over you because really the enemy that we just say, oh, I'm just going to stuff them in the closet rather than saying, no. I can look them in the face and know that I'm more powerful than anything they would want to hurt me with. And that's the same with your past. I tell people, I take you to the abyss and I'm going to be the one in there protecting you and I'm going to lead you out. But I'm not afraid to face anything that we find there. The important part is not to do that alone. Or with somebody that you don't truly trust, who is literally trained formally, not just that they've been through their own stuff, but that they have been trained formally. And I say that strongly because there are so many beautifully intentioned people, who are not ready to help, in the way that they do. So when you go into that deep part, you won't stay there for long. It's not going to be somewhere you live. If you keep your vision focused ahead, it's going to empower you like you can't even imagine when you take the lesson and the gift of it. Just make sure you select somebody really carefully.
That's so
Does that help?
beautiful. Yeah, it's so beautiful. And I'm just going to repeat what you said. The only purpose to go back is to get the gift from it. You're not going back simply to rehash it, to relive it, to like do, just stay back there. You're going back there to extract the gift from it and to be able to then actually move forward and actually surrender and, in the truest sense, let the things go that have been hurting you perhaps for years or for decades. So, how did you actually come upon this work? Like, where did this passion for this work come from for you?
Well, it found me through my
Mm-hmm.
own unhealthy behavior and my own coping with trauma that I didn't even know I had. So thank you, Brooke, for asking. You know, I had always been really passionate about relationships, about development. I was the 12-year-old in my dad's library reading about relationships
Oh, wow.
and soul development and self-development and
Yeah.
psychology. So it was at the point, I was 25, and I got on the scale one morning and I weighed what I did when I was 9, and it really hit me. Because in that moment, the reality that I had been truly almost dead from an eating disorder hit me, and God really picked me up at that point
Wow.
and guided me to a beautiful therapist. I'd been in therapy before, and I had my degree in it, but I really didn't know what my path forward looked like. And so, she really uncovered the fact that the common denominator in every struggle that I'd had, every unhealthy relationship, even though I was the person with the psych degree and everything
Yeah.
looked great on the outside, she really helped me open my heart and mind. And
Yeah.
she was the first one to use trauma as a term to describe my life. And again, I kind of like pushed against it. And I
Right.
thought,
There's such a
oh,
stigma.
yes. And at that point, even more so, like we didn't have people talking about trauma. This was in 1999, 2000. And it was like trauma was for war veterans. It was for children who had been through severe childhood physical or sexual abuse. I uncovered that I had endured child sexual abuse outside of my home. And that was part of what I got to deal with. And I say got to because it was one of the most beautiful blessings in my life to get to heal that. But as I grew more familiar with all the ways trauma had its tentacles in my life, I just developed this passion for understanding it, for healing it, for really allowing my own experience to have purpose, because there wasn't ever a point at the minute I got off the scale that morning at 5:30, all I wanted to do was help make a difference for the world so that other people didn't go through. At that point, I just thought an eating disorder, but it was so much more than that. And so I really have made this a big part of my life's work, and the inner child is the foundation of all of it. And trauma is almost always a factor in whatever is keeping you from your next level, whatever that means to you, you know?
And that eating disorder, like you mentioned, was really just a manifestation of the deeper stuff, right? It was just like a symptom. It wasn't the root cause, and the root cause was getting to the bottom of it. And we do hear trauma so much, and almost it's like one of those, buzzwords sort of nowadays. And so some people, like it, sometimes even when I see it, I feel like, you know what, you probably shouldn't be talking about that because I don't think you're really qualified, You
Absolutely.
know, and like you said, a lot of well-intentioned, well-meaning people. And you and I have had conversations about coaching and about really the sacred nature of coaching and how it's not just about exchanging large sums of money and teaching people how to make a lot of money, and just how when somebody is entrusting you with their heart, with their past, with their struggles and their challenges, it truly is a sacred thing. And if your interaction with a coach feels transactional, that should be a red flag, right?
1,000%, 1,000%. In fact, I wanted to be a coach in the year 2001, and I think I mentioned this to you, Brooke, and I felt so in awe of what somebody would be entrusting to me that I said, no, I want to go through and get my master's. That's why I became a psychotherapist and went through postgraduate work. all because of how I respect the souls with which people trust me. And when a coach has devoted a piece of their life and their monetary investment and time investment, like you have so brilliantly, Brooke, that is a hallmark of someone who's going to honor your heart and your soul and your experience. And it is about what the bigger result is, because your income will fluctuate and it will go up and down. And part of the book that I'm writing right now is about how abundance transcends all of that, and true abundance. And that's what I believe really exceptional coaching can allow you to experience, the peace and the freedom of an abundant life.
Yes, I love that word freedom. It's actually my word of the year, and it's just a word. It's my number one core value, freedom, and then love it comes right after that. And there really is a freedom to be experienced and felt when you are guided in such a way. It doesn't make your life perfect. It doesn't mean you have $10 million in the bank, because the money in the bank is not the thing that is going to give you the peace in the heart. However, you can have peace in your heart and money in the bank, and finding the right person to guide you is so important. So I've had this other, question kind of percolating in my mind as we've been talking, and I know you're a woman of faith. I'm a woman of faith, and we have people listening, many of various faiths, or just believing in a higher power, a greater power, universe, spirit. I am a God girl, a woman of faith. And I think that sometimes, as individuals of faith, when it comes to healing and trauma and therapy and coaching, there is a bit of a stigma, and perhaps this idea that you just need to have a better relationship with the Lord. Like, you just need to pray more. You just need to get closer to the Lord. And I think that I've seen this a lot. I saw it in my own life years ago, and I see this in a lot of people. But talk to the person here that's listening in that's like, I just need to get into the word more. And I'm not saying you don't, but I'm also saying that there's another piece of the puzzle. And how do people that have strong faith marry the fact that maybe they need help outside of those spiritual practices?
Brooke, this is such a fantastic question. I love it. I think
I've never asked this question, but I know there's a lot of people of faith listening.
well, and I've never been asked it, but I've had the conversation. I think that and in my own experience, my own life, what I have found is that first of all, the Bible is, whether you believe that or not, even as a work of literature, it is fraught with stories of trauma. And it is, and Jesus, however someone sees that, he went through the worst trauma of anybody. And I think what we can see is that God is in the wrestle. And if we want a truly deep and intimate relationship with the Lord, we have to be willing to go deep and wrestle and understand that absolutely his word is where we hear his voice so clearly. And his word is also lived out in our conversations outside of our time reading the word. It allows you to experience the word in the way it's truly meant to be experienced. Because if you just have that one kind of Univision experience with God, and often that feels safer, but God doesn't call us to live a life of safety. He calls us to live life on the edge and trust that if He can speak to you through your Bible, He can speak to you through a gifted therapist and coach. And in fact, we are shortchanging His purpose in your life if we simply leave it to the one sort of safe path and we don't do the work. Because, I mean, Paul, for instance, in the Bible, who killed Christians for years and then he became a Christian, talk about trauma. Like,
I
it's like
know.
Hamas suddenly coming over and trying to live among people he used to murder. And yet it was in his wrestle. He was on an island. That's sort of like what happens when we're in healing work. We're alone. We're messy. We are totally dealing with our stuff and our past. But I truly believe it is in that messiness, in the wrestle, that God has allowed me to see him for who he is. Because our trauma, if it's not healed, it will forever color the way in which you see and relate to God. And whether that's God or your higher power, it will forever be that lens. And if you want to have the clearest lens to God, you have to clarify that lens, which is what healing does.
So good. So good, right? Your circumstances, your relationships, the experiences and situations you have in life are directly related to the way in which you relate to yourself and God. You know, what that relationship looks like, what that connection is like, the unhealed pieces. And so I love this vision of wrestling. And we need gifted individuals to help us wrestle through those things. And I've always just felt like, okay, we get to be, you know, God's hands, and he uses people to help people. And we're hardwired for connection. It's just learning, as we started off this podcast, how to make those safe connections and how to know. And that goes back to listening to your body, listening to your heart, and how you feel. And I know for me, you know, being a parent, being a mother, you know, going through my own healing journey, and even thinking about my kids. I mean, how many people listening out there that are parents have kids that are like, oh my gosh, how do I find someone to help my child? You know, my child is struggling. And what advice would you give to those parents? Because I have parents message me all the time. I have children that I've at times shared, not their name and what they struggle with, but children that have struggled. You know, how does someone go about, do you think, finding that support that they need?
Right. Well, and it's unfortunately or fortunately becoming more and more needed as kids are experiencing anxiety at higher rates than ever before, and depression, and unfortunately, in my estimation, being medicated when really their hearts are wanting to heal, and they're really wanting that safe space. So I think it's connecting with some of the local bodies in your area or even online. There's some beautiful directories of people who have been vetted. For instance, if you're looking for someone of faith, there is an American Association of Christian Counselors who have all met a certain minimum criteria. I think it's understanding that if someone is going to care for the inner sanctum of your child, which is their soul and their healing, that again, they need to have official evidence that they have trained just like a physician or anybody else.
For sure.
I think getting recommendations from people you trust is important. And I also think that, when you are looking up somebody and when you're even thinking about someone, any good therapist or coach will have a usually, I don't want to speak for everyone, but in my humble opinion, I think that consultation ought to be free, where they interview you and you interview them to see if it's a good fit. And often that ought to be also with your child for a portion of that, because they, when I did work with kids very, very briefly, that safety was so important. And if a child didn't feel safe with me, I never forced that because they knew who they would feel safe with and they don't have to justify it. It's important that you feel safe, that you have regular communication with that person. If they're under the age of 18, if over the age of 18, legally, without the child's permission, they can't speak with you. So it's understanding their policy for that. Understanding the nature of the sessions for young little ones. Play therapy is beautiful. Sand therapy is beautiful because their language centers are not developed.
Yeah.
So all of those things are really important. Interview them like you would a nanny or anybody else who's going to be that close to your family.
I love that advice, and I have so many, mamas and parents in my network that I just thought, you know what, I'm going to ask this for those out there because I know a lot of mamas, trying to figure that out. As we come closer to kind of wrapping up our time together, which I feel like we could just sit by the fireplace and talk all day.
I love it, me too.
But I know you are just really, really big on taking care of yourself, taking care of your soul, the self-care habits, and again, going back to that listening to yourself. But for those listening that are on their journey of healing and starting to reconnect with themselves, reconnect with God, spirit, universe, what are, 2 to 3 daily habits, daily steps, just 2 to 3 healthy things that those listening can do to start feeling safer within their own selves, within their own home, and to start to experience an opening of their heart and more healing. And they might be like self-care practice habits or things that you always encourage your clients to engage in.
Absolutely, Brooke. And I want to just explain part of the tie to self-care is because that is where, for high-achieving women, that's where unhealed trauma shows up the most. It's in the self-care. And that's the easiest way to get some healing work in. So part of it is checking in with yourself, little sticky, even on your computer, saying, have you eaten? What do you need? That's a question that I encourage all my clients to ask throughout their day. What am I needing? What am I feeling? And if you check in with yourself like 3 times a day, it allows you to really start to get aware. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I haven't really breathed deeply, moving your body every day. That is some of the best medicine for your body and your mind and your soul. Also, making sure that you spend some time in absolute quiet is healing for your nervous system. I tell my clients, you have to get quiet with your life. It doesn't have to be forever. Could be just 5 minutes of just letting your soul breathe. And it'll feel like a long time at first, but it's important to do. It's important to do. Basic things like allowing yourselves moments to have joy and play. Sometimes that might be creating a board in Pinterest for 2 minutes. Set the timer so you don't get caught in the vortex, but it's allowing that imagination to come forward. And prayer. So I know that's four, but I think however that looks for you, it's important to remember that you, in my estimation, and I know for yours, Brooks, you aren't alone here. And if we don't take that moment to remember, just put your hand on your heart and remind yourself, God's right here with me.
So beautiful. I once heard a description of anxiety as being a condition of feeling separate from. And the separation that we feel is what creates a feeling of not being safe and a feeling of anxiety. And so, if you are experiencing anxiety or feelings of not feeling safe, consider that perhaps there needs to be more connection and less separation. And that's what prayer or meditation can do for you. And so, asking yourself every day, what do I need throughout the day? This is something that I started doing years ago as well. And it was simple things like, gosh, I'm hungry, or wow, I haven't stood up in 4 hours, or oh my goodness, my back is hurting, or I haven't taken any deep breaths, like you said. So asking yourself throughout the day, what do I need? Number two, like you said, move your body every day. You know that movement is medicine, and I call it my free therapy. I move once or twice a day, and it truly does change your state, and also moves the energy through the body, moves the sadness, the happiness, the pain, whatever that is, through your body. Number three, time and silence and getting quiet in your life. This is something I've been practicing with one of my children right now. We started actually meditating together because he struggles a lot with anxiety, trouble sleeping, and he's already noticing a difference because it's about 12 minutes of just being quiet and calming the mind and then prayer. I think those four things are just beautiful, simple things that you can start to implement throughout your day. And you'll feel a world of difference. I think you've probably seen this in people that it can be 7 days, right? And they already feel different.
100%. Yes, that it takes, we don't realize we are inches away from major changes in the way we experience our days.
I love that. We are inches away. We think there's this gigantic, like, huge chasm. That's a huge space, and it's these little tiny movements. We're just inches away. And so, I always ask this question at the end of the podcast because it is called Align the Good Life. And I love talking about alignment and creating your version of a good life. And what I really truly want every listener here to experience is greater alignment, mind, body, soul, spirit, and also whatever their version is of a good life, just like that joy, that peace. And so my question for you is, how would you define living the good life?
I love this question, Brooke. It's so beautiful. The good life for me is really living in the most expansive state that God created me to live, to not have limits on my life that He didn't intend for me to, but to be able to live and give and make a difference in the most lavish ways, both to myself, but into the world. And that for me embodies abundance and freedom, and at this moment, wealth, so that I can make a difference that way. But that has little to do with the money. The good life is really about experiencing the heaven on earth that I believe God created for each of us to live.
So beautiful. I couldn't agree more. And I want everyone here listening to get connected to this brilliant, heart-centered woman. How can people get connected to you? What's the best way?
Well, my website is really the best way, amyvanslambrook.com, and you can enter in your email address there if you'd like to. And that's the way I love to pour into you. And we'll have some goodies for your audience as well, Brooke. And so I just would love to hear from any one of you. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I'm the one who answers 9 times out of 10. And I would love to hear from any one of you.
Beautiful. So get connected to Amy at amyvanslambrook.com, and we'll put all those links in the show notes as well. But I just want to thank you, friend, for taking an hour with us and sharing so many rich nuggets of information from your heart and your breadth of experience in helping people. It was such a gift to have you on today.
Oh, Brooke, I feel like I've been given a great gift. So thank you. You continue to be a gift in my life.
Yes, and thank you everyone for tuning in today and listening. If you feel like this episode could bless anyone that you know, please pass it on, share it, and tag Amy, tag myself in your shares of this so that they can get connected to the support, the help, and the encouragement that they need. Thank you so much for listening today, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Align the Good Life podcast. Around here, I'm all about building community, connecting great people with incredible ideas, positive mindsets, and big dreams. And that's what Align was all about this year. We just wrapped up our annual event. This time it was in San Antonio, Texas. And if you've seen the reels, seen the pictures, read the posts, you know it was out of this world incredible. There is nothing like-minded, like-hearted people coming in the room for the purpose of growth, for the purpose of expansion, and for the purpose of alignment. Every single speaker, every single detail, and every single person in that room was there to play full out, making a commitment to their future and believing in better. So, I don't know if you heard the news, but we've already dropped the location for 2025 and we're already over half sold out 1 year before the event is even happening. So I want to encourage you today to head over to AlignEventsLive.com to grab your ticket to Align 2025. We're hosting this event in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. That's right. Plenty of sunshine, good vibes, amazing people, incredible content, and a transformation that you will never forget. We're up-leveling and taking things to an even bigger level in 2025. So mark your calendars, January 22nd through the 24th of 2025 in Phoenix, Arizona. Align is going down. And hey, one more thing while you're at it. If you love this episode, if you appreciate what you're learning here on the Align the Good Life podcast, if you could drop a rating and write a review, that would mean the world to us. And then if you want to take it a step farther to help us spread the word, go ahead and copy the link and share this episode in your stories, on your social media feed, and let's help more people to find their alignment and live their very own good life. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening into the podcast today. If you loved it, a review, rating, and share on social would be epic and helps in spreading the word. Everything I create is in the hopes of helping you advance your life, energy, and business.